Hi, Hank.
Ja, daar zijn we weer.
Thank you
Here we
for
are again.
alerting me that the sound quality broke off. And also, thank you for letting me know that you have a bit more time today, so we don't actually have to round off and close off the session for now. And you already told me that by connecting the circle of the quints and the octaves, by showing the parallel between the organs in the body and the orchestra, that you suddenly saw the further connections about depression and elation, or the minors and the majors in the flats and the sharps of music, and you already said that you would like to pick that up right now. So let's pursue that. And already we came up with the notion that perhaps a more appropriate title for the next episode would then be the relationship between the composer and the healer, which you already brought up for Handel in the earlier part of the story. And so you already said that there is this direct relationship between the people feel depressed or elated by music, and how that can be formulated in music as the flats and the sharps. So please continue that part of the story that which you wanted to explore.
Okay, thank you. First, I like to add a little bit on the story of the organ, right, the pipe organ. It's very much related to Jupiter and the liver. So if you would have this orchestra and you see the organ in it, in the concert hall, you could consider it as the liver, because the liver has the same function in an organ orchestra situation. So that's quite clear. From the other instruments, it's not clear yet, but that's for the moment. So now the next question is from the minor and the major scales and the circle of quints from Pythagoras. The thing we have discussed several episodes before, but I didn't comprehend this then yet, and Otto was so smart to see a very strong relation between how the cells would respond and the blood to it. But now I all of a sudden see how it also could be startling, how to say,
Switch.
a switch. A switch on or off, like we have our nerve system, and we have this parasympathetic and autosympathetic nerve system. And the parasympathetic is very eager to switch on when we go in minor mode, minor scale modus, and the sympathetic has the To the it's very likes it very much to switch on when we play major modes scales, and we switch on the autosympathetic nerve system. And I came to that conclusion because all of a sudden I see this movement of music, and you know when you get these goose pimples all over your spine. Sometimes you get it when it's in minor mode, but most of the time you get it when it's in major scale. So major scale, they like to elicit warmth. Minor scale, they like to keep the warmth in. And so it was a very clear image that came to me all of a sudden. And then related with this topics, it's very clear that when you are in need of warmth or energy, and you're poor on energy, you better start playing minor music. And then you say, "I'm getting depressed," but the funny thing is, you were already depressed, and now you know it. And by just being for longer in this state, you regain your energy because the energy is switched inward to the inside of your Möbius loop and not bringing it to the outside. And then, I'm start crying, and because that's when we start crying. So with the minor scales, we are more eager to start crying, and that means that we turn the feeling inside and regain the energy. And with the major scale, we start to dance. We start to express it. But you need enough. The expression has to come from within. And you only get it within from a minor scale, to keep it simple. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of music all of a sudden in the cells and the organs and the switch, because it's all to tell a little bit from this nerve system. So it's either parasympathic or it is autosympathic. It's not, and it cannot be the same at the same time. So it has to switch. And sometimes we do things that it can't switch, like using drugs. So it stays too long in a certain state. So it can't switch anymore because you have used drugs. And then after it, you have a kater. The aching and the pain after it, and the hangover from the drugs, and you have to be in this minor modus to get your energy back again, to regain your energy. And the most simple thing of people getting over the hangover is to use the substance again, because then you don't have a hangover anymore, but then you get more heavily addicted. And finally you have to do a whole detox and story to give your cells a longer life again, because if you would go on like this, you will break the Möbius loop and it will fall into pieces. And the funny thing is, the music will be also out of your life from that moment. You are too much out of balance, and so you die. You die when the music is still in you. When you go too long in that way, so for instance, burnout is a symptom like that, with fibromyalgia and or rheumatics. We have a lot of this kind of degenerative illnesses, like Parkinson's and what we have more, dementia, and it's all more or less related to this. Switch problem between the sympathetic and the parasympathetic nerve system. And from my musical point of view and from my neurological point of view, we could conquer this problem by using much more music for balancing people out. And it doesn't mean that you always have to listen to the music you like at that moment. Sometimes it's music you hate to get somewhere. But most of the time we don't get this far. But Otto and I know a guy who can play with this, and he gives you a stone in your hand, and then all of a sudden the ugly music is getting nice, and you're getting all the emotions you are rejecting in your judgment, or in which you are not identified with. And that's also very funny, to get this kind of shocking belief response healing things on music. Even for me, it was shocking to see that my because I'm such a well equipped musician, and so I was sure I didn't have this kind of identifications or projections on music, and of course I had. Of course, how could it be so stupid? But the funny thing is that it made very clear that somewhere along the line, I as a body, but also a few of my organs, just reject this kind of music and get irritated on, because it's just not the right music at the moment for this or that organ at this specific moment. And then the same organ played, or the same piece of music played in a minor scale, could be very digestive for you, but in major scale you will reject it, or the opposite, or in another color, with another color stone, you could digest it and with no resonance with it, it's just a pain in the ass, and you want to switch it off. So that was a thing that came to my mind when Otto was doing his conclusions on the last recording.
Yeah, I'd like to take that up because what you said now, you've nicely brought in the vegetative system, the sympathetic and the parasympathetic responses. You connected that up to the neurons and the hormones, which we've already discussed and about which there is a lot of knowledge and information. You've connected it up to the major and the minor notes, and specifically you linked it up with sitting still in contemplating the music, say the meditative side of music, or actually experiencing that the music flows into the body and turns on the body in dance. So that was a very nice connection up to it as well. And I'd like to connect that up to something which is fundamental in physics. Actually, it's a sound effect known as the Doppler effect. The Doppler effect, many people know it as how there is a car with a siren driving towards you, and then it passes you and it drives away, and then you notice when it comes towards you, the pitch is higher, and when it goes away from you, the pitch is lower. Nothing changed. The car just went on its way, no change whatsoever. You just were standing there listening to it. No change whatsoever. What happened was a relative shift of the velocity of the car being added to the speed of sound of the siren. So in the one case, the sound comes towards you being accelerated because the car moves towards you, and on the other hand, after the car passed, the sound comes towards you lowered in the velocity because of the car moving the other way. So yeah, that is also where physics then knows that the note that we hear is actually the frequency of the sound propagated by the speed of sound in the medium, but you have to correct that for the speed of the car, which is called the Lorentz transformation. So when you look at something which is in motion, or when you look at something which is standing still, you always have to look at it in a relative manner. So the models of classical physics, they ignored that. And so the Doppler effect actually helped physics understand that everything is relative, which is now also known as relativistic. Of course, quantum theory helped to realize that if you go into the details of these shifts, you find that the notes jump up and down in a discrete manner rather than a continuous manner, which is also to do with the way we hear it by the cilia, the vibrational hairs in our ear. What I would like to do now is to connect this understanding of physics, because then in physics we have this whole understanding of the Doppler effect, which we experience as the frequency being higher or lower, which in fact we need to translate as the difference between something moving towards us or something moving away from us, which we can then translate into the mathematical terms of physics, which are called the acceleration or the deceleration. And what I've been looking at, and what you're now addressing, Henk, is the relationship between this phenomenon of acceleration and deceleration in physics with the phenomenon or the sensation, the experience of elation and depression in our body. And that, of course, is also the core of mathemusics, because it was, in fact, that relationship which helped me come to the quest for mathemusics, because I realized that if there is this direct relationship between acceleration and deceleration, and between the major and the minor keys in music, then why can't music be the link to see how in our body the acceleration of the cell communication or the deceleration of the cell communication, which in our body we know as the emergence of fever, or the counterpart of it, the origination of sclerosis. In fact, it is over-vitality of the cells. The cells in a way explode and dissolve into the sort of turning their own dynamic into the environment. So the life of the cell sort of goes way beyond the cell. It goes eccentric. It flows out into the environment, which we then know as fever. Or the other way around, that the vitality of the cell sort of dwindles, but the information flow slows down, the electrical magnetic activities of the molecules and the atoms slow down, the cell actually becomes lifeless, the software no longer connects to the hardware, and all that you are left with is the hardware, which is then known as sclerosis or the scar tissue. So that's where we are dealing with the relationship between health and disease, or life and death. And I'm quite sure, Henk, that you have some associations about music with this.
Yeah, but first about sclerosis and fever. So does this implement that when you have a regular fever every year, you avoid your sclerotic system so it's less degenerative to have a fever annually?
No.
Could you say it like this?
No. It means that in the healthy, the fever is the sick side of the story, where the body needs to correct something because you do not do it.
Yeah.
So if you're asking for the way to create the fever, it's called running or dancing or moving. It's activity.
Yeah.
And if you don't move enough, then you don't heat up the body enough. The body temperature doesn't go up high enough, and parasites can live in places where otherwise they could not. Rather than having a yearly fever, it's better to have a daily 4-minute physiological activity.
Well, just
actually,
move your
need to move your whole body, because you need to move your organs and you need to move your cells.
Yeah.
So yes, there is that need.
And for sclerosis, the same story.
Then in the body it's called meditation. If you do not slow down the body, if you're in a continuous feverish state of work, like many people who work in corporations, for money, working as slaves, they are so busy being kept busy that they keep each other busy. They're in a state of frenzy. They're like the rats in a cage and people hammering the cage all the time.
So
they are in a state of overexcitement, which basically burns them out, which you can see in society. All as a result of the way money manipulates the life of people instead of their own body and their own being. So the traditional way of that is not to go into a sclerotic episode a couple of days per year, but to go into meditation. So basically when people come back from their work, they meditate. And when they meditate, they relax. Their body relaxes, their mind relaxes, their breathing relaxes, and their cell can discharge the electrical charge.
So they are in minor mode, or they're using their parasympathetic nerve system.
Yes, and of course, that is what has become combined in music, that people can listen to music and, in a way, passively let the music do the work for them. Instead of going running, they listen to the gypsy music. And instead of going to meditation, they listen to meditational music. But that's also the kind of connection that I'm looking for in Mathe Musics, to see how the music can actually do the running for us, the music can actually do the meditation for us, so that we can better understand what happens at the level of the cells.
Yeah. So if you are depressed, stay a little depressed and then start dancing and on major scales. To move your sympathetic nerve system again, but you get depressed because you tear yourself down and etc. Yeah, so it's all based on this Möbius loop. You have to go through the Möbius loop.
And I'd like to ask you, Henk, because evidently music is all about the shift of melody. It's not just having a note, but it's changing the note. It's not about making the note repeated more often, which is a change of frequency. It's not just about making it louder or softer, which is the amplitude. It is also about going up, which is a sequence or a fractal of the notes. But it is also about having a melody, patterns of the notes going up and down. And then playing with the melody. If you look at the fugues, for example, they are all about having a melody, then introducing a form which is either higher or lower than it, so that you have the interplay of basically a bass melody with a, say, a higher or a major version of it, a lower or a minor version of it, and then the composer actually starts to work with major notes and minor notes to explore that more, so that the massage of music is essentially the equivalent of that Doppler shift, that the music is passed in front and behind us, towards us and away from us, massaging us by the push and pull of the major and the minor keys. And I am certainly hoping that you have some way that we can understand what musicians do at that level.
Yeah, for sure. So that, and just to keep it again simple, for instance, when I talked it over with Mark van Delft, one of the Dutch composers that I know, he told me actually it's quite easy if you want to make a composition. And so you it's just like writing a book. What is the story you like to tell? So, for instance, when you want to make a composition about Archangel Michael, who conquers the wrong, or who conquers the evils, or the bad doing, or whatever, you need to have some scales that will provoke this feeling that it's conquered, that it's like you sing Vincere, Vincere. No, I practice a little bit more. Vincere, Vincere. And so you have to use that specific skills to and also the height. Now I'm singing it too low. That's the final piece of Nessun Dorma. And yeah, really, when you sing this or when you hear it, you really are for sure you're going to win this situation. In what kind of bad situation you are, you know for sure, yeah, I will survive. Or when you sing the song of Labi Sifra, the higher you build your barriers, away, the solar I will come. And so it is all written in those scales to give you this feeling, because if you would sing or play this in a minor scale, people would take suicide before the end of the song, because that's something you don't need at that specific moment. When, so you could sing or play this song in minor scale, and yeah, it would lose its the text would lose completely its value, because the scale is dominant over the text. It's dominant over the libretto. So you need to have the right scale for the right libretto to get it right. So, and that's of course.
Yeah. Can you tell some more about that? Because now you're actually talking about the storytelling by music.
Yeah,
but you're also talking about the audience being enthralled, let's call it captivated by the music, or the audience being repelled, let's call it rejected by the music. Because I assume that in music, composers will need to avoid that people get bored, and they need to avoid that people start to hammer onto each other as a result of the music that they just listened to. And I know that we don't see that in the music, because the composers avoid these kind of music which might have those effects, because they still get paid for the success of the music. So is there a knowledge at the level of the composers of what turns people off and what turns people on?
Yeah, that's a very old word in Greek. It's called drama. Drama. And to keep the drama going, you have to alienate it a little bit. So it doesn't need to be the same drama as you have. It needs to be a little bit different. And that's the whole magic of getting people on their toes, on the point of their chair, because you have to dramatize it. Oh, this was the worst. This is the worst thing that could happen. So Archangel Michael, he had his worst enemy, and I'm telling it already in the wrong style, but but that's also the reason why I do it. It's really the worst enemy, Archmichael. It was invincible. This satanic forces, they you could not win from them. But then later on, he did. So now I'm telling it in a way, on a tone, that's already you don't want to hear anymore of it.
Yeah, I definitely said, well, okay, started to yawn. What are you telling?
Yeah, what are you telling? And the funny thing of his is a composer could have this libretto, but that's also why a movie. Let's go to movie music, because that's even more well known to people than concert halls, etc. So if you put other different music than the original music under the movie, it's really very funny because it gets a completely different shift. So first time that a composing friend said to me, "Oh, Henk, but it's so simple. Just put if you watch a porno video, put Bach under it. You have a completely different experience from your video." So I said, indeed, it's very strange to alienate it, and the story is completely out of syncopation with the music of Bach, of course, because it's different music. And the same thing with music. So with the scores on movie, that's called scores, the music under the movies. And the composers really need to compose for this a lot of times. Because if you want to have this very specific thing going on, it's very hard to find in classical music or annual music you see on documentaries, etc. Because most of the time they use Philip Glass or a piece of Bach or the canon of you name a few of those guys. And so when you listen to it, it's about 40, 50 pieces of music. And when you go to a central meeting of a big firm or something, then you have "We are the champions" and that kind of stuff. They use the same thing. It's like the disc jockey is getting more and more the to be the conductor, but the disc jockeys, they are poor of hearing. They use their volume knobs too much to impress the people and. So it's lost. The effect is then lost. Although it gives a certain feeling, but the refinement is lost of the whole story. And but it you have some let's call it artificial effects on it. And sometimes when the disc jockey is very well attuned to the audience, it can be remarkable. It can be remarkable. That they have to be in a good shape, in good resonance with the audience, and need to know when they put in their minor scale songs, compositions, or their major scales, and it needs to refer a little bit to the thing that's happening. So. A funny thing, for instance, when you play the Lohengrin in a minor scale, so you have a wedding. It's also very funny to have this major scale Lohengrin. That's the da kommt der Bräut, da 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 da. That's from Wagner, and from the Lohengrin, and but that's a happy one. It's a major scale, and if you play that in the minor scale, it's also very funny what happens. So that's already enough alienation. So if you just, as a musician, you turn the scales around from Wagner, and you get completely different compositions. And I did this kind of things also. And even when you, especially when you play it a little faster or slower, nobody recognizes anymore that you just playing Wagner a little slower and in a different scale. Yeah, what kind of composition is this? And a lot of composers do this kind of things too, because it's a good story, that's a good song, and why not use it?
Yeah, they take a few bars of Claude Debussy and then turn it into something. Yeah. I'd like to connect this up to what happens in the body. Because while you were talking about the way the film industry uses music, airports and supermarkets, they use music to instill a kind of general feeling in people. Mm-hmm. And in that way, a lot of people are being manipulated a lot of the time without their actually knowing it. Mm-hmm. But it also is something that we see in the body in a similar way. When people listen to music in supermarkets, they are not well aware of the way their body responds to that. Puts them in a tranquil, docile, tame consumer mode.
Mm-hmm.
In the body, you can see that the level of the music is actually known as the level of stress or the level of relaxation. Stress is when there is a lot of electromagnetic activity, a lot of spurious cell communication, sort of being the noise around what happens at the level of the cells. And relaxation is when the signals of the cells are actually coherent, so that you can actually hear the undertone, the undercurrent, the hum of the cells working together.
Yeah.
It's interesting, because while I talk, there is a scraping noise on the background. Mm-hmm. Which is basically illustrating very nicely what happens to the cells. There is the signal level of the story, and there is the scraping sound of other stuff going on, which would be the equivalent of the stress in the body.
Yeah.
So everything you just described about composers using the major and the minor, the quicker and the slower, the louder and the softer, as basically the navigation console in that space of music, is quite accurately by metaphor what we see happening in the cell communication, where the cells talk between themselves using physical, chemical, electromagnetic and light signals, but that signal can be drowned out when the chemical level is too acidic.
Mm-hmm.
Or when the stress level, the electromagnetic level, is too strong, there's too much residue electricity going on, or even when there is a false reality image in the body, like a fear, a projection, a false anticipation.
Mm.
So that the mental image is overruling the body image.
Yeah.
In fact, when you have the three of them combined, that's where you can then find the origination of cancer. The cells can no longer synchronize, lose the rhythm, and just need to go back to their own rhythm to basically survive. So what you just brought up in the relationship between the you saw it associated to the fever and the sclerosis.
Mm-hmm.
And you connected that up to the storyteller of the musician,
yeah,
and to the way I can now bring that back to cell communication, basically by your example, that you can see a picture and hear the music, and you cannot connect them.
Yeah.
And I think it was Monty Python who at some point had a story about the history of England while the camera shifted to the bosom of a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And so after a bit, the presenter of that talk said, so we were talking about the history of England in that period while you were looking at a big pair of bangers or something like
okay.
that. So it is that kind of connection and disconnection which you've very nicely illustrated. I asked about that regulation of the connection and disconnection in music, and you brought that back to the essence of drama. You also said that you had a half hour to continue the story, so we probably are running into your event horizon for the session of now.
Approximately, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm really glad that this concept of fever and sclerosis led you to the introduction of drama into the story. And I can imagine that we can very well combine that in the next episode, which is about the composer and the healer, or the composer as healer, or the relationship between the regulation of rhythm and frequency and amplitude in the orchestra versus the experience of sensations and emotions and health in our body. So that I think will be a very nice continuation. Is there something which you would like to add to round off this recording?
It's a very nice way to say, let's talk about the Asclepion of Pergamon, because that's exactly where it comes together again, this healing and the scales and the organs and the drama, because part of their therapy or healing was also to look at the drama or to be part of the drama. And so the theater that we have, it's called drama in Greek. So there's a lot to learn from this drama and the alienation of the positive alienation of everyday life, because alienation in drama is very positive. Alienation in everyday life, it's called disconnection. So that's
Well, thank you very much again for a wonderful exploration here.
You too, Vatan.
We saw a lot fall in place, and I look forward to the sequel yet again.
Yeah, we'll continue. And
for now, I'll come back to you briefly